You're listening to the Fox and the Phoenix podcast, understanding the feminine cross-dressing experience.
I'm Savannah Hawk, dual gender male to female cross-dresser, LGBTQ plus advocate, TEDx speaker, and author of the Living with Cross-Dressing book series.
And I'm Julie Rubenstein, proud ally and co-founder of foxandhanger.com, a feminine styling and life coaching service for cross-dressers and transgender women.
Hi, Savannah.
Hi, Julie. How are you?
I'm good.
Good. Guess who's here today?
I know who's here today. And I get to say a 5, 6, 7, 8. Hi, Judy.
Hi, Julie.
Hi, Judy.
Hi, Savannah.
Oh, my God. We're all here again.
Yeah.
Continuing our adventures on the couch. The three of us together at last. Obviously, there was way too much to cover in just one span of an episode. It would have been hours. So we're back again to talk more about all our exploits and the truth as is told by the significant one.
Guess who's back? Back again. Judy's back. Phone your friend.
Well, I think we're going to go from phoning a friend. Oh my God, they're dancing over here, y'all. Remember, last episode, we talked about my revealing Savannah to Judy, all the angst that came with that and the development and the strength and the struggles. And today, I figured we'd get right back into it with the first physical reveal of me, like, presenting to myself as Savannah. So that's where we're going to pick back up right now.
I wanted to do it, yes. But it was the way Judy wanted it to be done, which was...
I was finally ready.
Yes.
To...
About, you said 4 months?
It was 3 or 4 months, okay. I think. I was finally ready after to meet Savannah. And I did not want to sit in the living room looking at my phone and having a heart attack for 90 minutes or whatever it took. I said, nope, I want to be in the room. I want to watch. Oof. I want to see the entire thing from start to finish.
Yes.
I don't want to be shocked by this all of a sudden. Who the heck is that? You know, I want to see how it happens.
I want the process.
Yeah.
I want the process.
Good for you.
The process is a big part of it.
It is.
The becoming, you know.
It was good. It was smart. I never would have thought of that.
So I put on some good music.
Well, excuse me, listeners. This is a good part for you to pause and say, if you're a listener and you're at that point where you're going to reveal, this is a safe place for you to say, this is an important part. Would you like to see me get ready?
Mm-hmm.
Whether the person is asking for it or not.
She may not want to,
but at least know that, like, maybe she can watch on FaceTime from the other room.
Mm-hmm.
Because to me, the shock that goes from, like, male to female, I personally am fascinated by it. But the most fascinating part of it is not just the filter or the TikTok trick.
Yeah.
That's true. Right.
Step by step. Mm-hmm. It's the foundation. It's the ritual.
Waiting for this to dry.
Right.
Putting that on.
It becomes a ritual. Mm-hmm. And it also adds depth to the process and respect to the process.
Yes.
As a woman witnessing a man go through that. Yes, it does take respect. Yes, mm-hmm. It's not easy. And the fact that you're taking time and really caring for the step-by-step to look your best for me or for yourself
mm-hmm.
shows me, A, that it's not just a cheap thrill because you're not like, oh, yes.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, more reducer. It's not just like that.
I mean, obviously, that's Julie loves her poor reducer.
I do not.
But
I
just saying.
Really know what it is. It's not like this.
It wasn't like fetishized in any way. It was like a process. Yeah.
Process. That is, it is a therapeutic, healing, mindful process that maybe some women take for granted just because they're like, oh, my mother says never leave the house without lipstick, and they do it in the dark, and they've had generations of women.
Or you see the women driving down the street putting mascara on in the rearview mirror.
Exactly. But this is a man that is earning your trust, basically, mm-hmm. and saying, you know.
And being very vulnerable.
Very vulnerable.
Because, like,
sharing with you.
And you have to remember, I came from a relationship where my girlfriend didn't want to see me half dressed. Like, I would just come out like right now, listeners, I am wearing yoga pants and a graph. Yes. Well, they're still yoga pants, but leggings.
And the only reason you have those leggings is because I bought a pair of them and you like them.
I love them.
I had to order them in a larger size.
Yes, please.
Next size up.
And I borrowed a pair of Judy's camo leggings when I had no underwear or pants. And it could have been we could have been triplets.
Yeah, we could have been. We could have all been wearing camo.
I'm one of those people, so it didn't happen.
But the point is,
I am going to get back on track
because the point is, it was very vulnerable for me to do this. Mm-hmm. Not that like I didn't respect like the idea. I thought it was a great idea because you could see the incremental changes.
Right.
But I had been so used to people not wanting to see somebody wearing a bra, but no makeup. Like,
right.
I'm like unfinished.
And you're prejudiced about it.
And yeah, my prejudice, like, I don't want people to see me like, because my it's previous girlfriend rolled their eyes at me.
When I see you halfway, I know.
And that's, those things are, you know, things I worry about. Mm-hmm. So getting back to the story, you know, every step of the way, I don't know if I did a tutorial about like, this is what I'm doing. This is what I'm adding. I don't know if I like give you commentary, but I think I just kept coming in and out of the room because she was in the bed, just kind of like propped up waiting.
No, I remember. I would come in the bathroom and I'd sit on
the toilet. Yeah, that's right.
He had a really big bathroom.
It was a corpse bathroom, yeah.
And watch what he was doing. And then when I got tired of sitting on the toilet watching, I'd go and sit in the living room.
And then I would come back and forth and I'd be putting different things on.
That was very vulnerable.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. The only thing I did say is that final step, I had to be the wig, the completion of things. Yeah. I'm like, no, I don't want you to see this. I do want to come in and reveal myself that way. Totally. I don't want to be like, okay, honey, watch me put this wig on.
Yeah,
I wanted that.
It was worth it. The wig made everything so different.
Yeah.
I was like, wow, you're really pretty.
And I was just going to say that when she was on the bed, propped up. I sat on the edge of the bed next to her.
Very demurely.
Yeah. And she said, wow, you don't look like yourself. You look very pretty. And those two things.
8 years later.
It was so amazing. Wow. It was. I'm sorry, listeners. I'm getting very verklempt. But even 8 years later, this is something like to be told you're pretty. Number one, you don't look anything like yourself. Whereas a trans person, a man trying to look like a woman who just always at the time, I only saw my male face always, no matter what I did. Mm-hmm. So for her to say, wow, I don't even recognize you, right? You don't even look like Chuck. And then say, wow, you're pretty. Like two things are like the most massive hugs of love that you could possibly get. And it was fucking amazing. I mean, we just sat there and I was very nervous. I think you remember that. I was kind of getting tearful even then. Uh-huh. And I was sitting there and I'm like, I don't know what to do. And mm-hmm. and we kind of just sat there and talked. I really don't know. It's kind of like a big jumble. It was just like it happened, but I couldn't give you the details. It was just moment in time. And, that was all pre-book. Right. So all that stuff came later. But these were those first steps, those first milestones that were so, visceral and reactive and scary for both of us.
You had to go through this to earn her trust and to earn her love and vice versa, I think.
Yeah.
I earned my trust. Yeah.
But I didn't trust the rest of the world. So that was
Shit. What a segue.
That was
damn, mic drop. Boom.
Snaps. Now.
See, you're going to have me as a guest more often. I'm fun.
She is
fun.
This
is a two-part
mini. This is going to be a five-part miniseries if we can make it happen. But let's talk about that.
I was terrified of anybody finding out.
Why?
Even though I could understand psychologically that you felt you needed to present in a feminine form, I felt like I was seeing the world through my inner child and I have lots of PTSD. And I assumed that everyone was going to judge you or laugh at you or throw us out of the apartment.
No one love.
And hurt you or whatever. I was terrified anytime you wanted to go out as Savannah that the neighbors were going to see or, you know, and then my family would find out and they wouldn't want him to be part of the family. Yeah.
And so, well, let me kind of like angle that. I mean, you were worried about what people may think of me, mm-hmm. but didn't you also worry about what they would think of you?
Yes, by relation to
like, how could you be with somebody like that?
Yes.
What kind of person are you to be with like a weirdo?
Yes.
You know, you worried a lot about
what does that say about you if you're with someone who does this?
He thought that I didn't want people to think I was a lesbian, but that wasn't really it at all.
Well, you had mentioned it, but that was the lesser component of it.
I didn't, it was more about me being seen with some guy that wants to wear a dress, and what the heck is his problem?
Right,
you
know? Right.
Mental. Because I had no experience with how anybody might deal with that. Besides we didn't even talk to them yet. The four women that and then started meeting the Fever people. But even then, you know, it was still a little bubble of a world that we were living
in. Yeah,
you know?
It was very isolated and insulated. The community we were running in. Private parties where sometimes the spouses came, sometimes they didn't, you know, going to a lot of these cross-dressing private events.
And I think about like when Scott and I first met, and I think about how vulnerable for me, I mean, I used to always like, I don't know, I just think it's so vulnerable in general to like introduce your people to someone new that you're dating, right? And then you add the layer that there's this shameful thing that's mm-hmm. That's in the closet.
Yeah.
That's very private.
Yeah.
And you're carrying around this
secret
you're feeling like when you're introducing Chuck to people and they're getting to know and really feeling like they know this person, mm-hmm. like maybe you're thinking to yourself, if they only knew, or if they only find out, or God, or, you know,
or if I found out that some of his coworkers did know, then I felt embarrassed, like they were looking at me like I was a weirdo wanting to be with him.
Yeah. For finding love with someone who
which is there is an irony to that, because all the people who did know fully love Savannah.
Right. Like, I had no concept of that.
No.
That was even possible.
And why would you?
It wasn't until we moved here and got involved in the LGBTQ community in general, and went out in the public, you know, went to restaurants,
in a place that was not
people, and you know, and everybody was embracing.
Yeah, I mean, just like today. Today with the fitting room attendant, where she was just totally like mm-hmm. blasted by it. It's like, oh.
And that's still a moment.
That's still a moment
where we're like, but even like when we went to the Starbucks together and we were just sitting talking, it still marveled, and Judy wasn't there, but we're just sitting and conversing out and open, and something like that is so, I don't know, for me, it should be so normalized because this is Savannah and we're meeting, and the part that I'm like, you know, constantly since I've been here, trying to jump out of the normalcy of it and be like, this is special, this is who I'm with. But even so, just the fact that like we were out, I was out with Savannah, I could not have that peace.
Did you like, wow, realize this, today,
these people didn't even look, and they've been here the whole time, and they, right? But you just look like a woman. It's not like you still.
But I was talking.
You have passing privilege as well.
That's true. But when we spoke, I was not affecting a different, you know, register a voice. So anybody who would have heard us talking could have said, hey, that voice is a lot deeper for a woman than it should be.
I didn't even think twice today.
About,
but then again, you weren't just,
I wasn't dressed, no.
But listen, another. This is the enormity of it. He pointed it out to me another time that we went shopping because we were looking for shirts or dresses for you. And I was taking these dresses and holding them up against him.
Right.
In his male mode, and saying, yeah, that might fit. Not thinking about it, not worried who's seeing it. And he told me later, he's like, oh my God. I was like, oh my God, she's doing this? What if people see?
Yeah.
You were nervous about it.
Because there was a woman behind her, maybe 5-6 feet away at the next circular rack.
With a side eye.
No, I don't think she even looked, but I was like, oh my God, what if she just heard that? And it was like a role reversal.
And here we were today,
let you know, listeners, these women were like putting things in front of me.
Thinking twice about putting dresses in front of this man and saying, this will look good on you. And, you know, this might, let's see if this.
And also I was joking with Savannah, we went to get my bags, about like how comfortable we are together, but just how like to me, non-sexy shapewear is. And I think for men, for cross-dressing men, it really is. And it's this whole thing.
Oh, I love it.
But
yeah,
just like us two being in the fitting room, kind of hiking up the shapewear. It was just so normalized.
Yeah, we're like, yeah, so it's shapewear.
There was nothing like
It was a moment. I mean, again, you're saying it, but from my perspective, looking at you, making fun of me in the best possible way, really like saying, oh, you know, I kind of like that. Or like, do you like it? I like it. Do you like it? And they're like, these two are like commiserating over their love of the same style outfit in
a
few cases.
They're like a little child wearing a dress.
Like,
not
you're
like
just the talent.
I'm just a talent. Yeah. I was just standing there back to the mirror.
Feels good in it.
Yes.
Know?
And I was like, not looking at the mirror, standing against the mirror, just looking at these two women, like just dressing me up and finding out the best thing to wear to this gala event.
Your co-host and your girlfriend.
Yes.
We just marvel at that.
It was amazing. It was amazing.
It was very special.
It was.
And the lady was so excited. And the lady
was
like,
oh, well, I was expecting a fashion show. We're just like, no.
Yeah. And I did show, her.
You know, should have brought the wig.
Well, what I did do on the way out, you were already, we had the wrong purple dress, y'all. And so she said, oh, wait, don't you want this dress? And I look at the cart and it's got a purple dress, but the wrong size. Yeah. So we fixed that. But I did show the attendant of this lovely lady. I showed her like a picture from the day before, which was Julie and me at Starbucks that she just talked about. I said, oh, this is how I looked yesterday, knowing that you looked exactly the way you looked before. So I knew it was like you and me.
Point of reference.
She's like, oh, wow, you look really pretty. So again,
completely,
you know, we're in the South.
We were out.
But we were out.
It wasn't even a big thing.
And I'll even give you one further. And this is something that I struggled with a long time ago. I used to go to DSW shoe store.
Yeah.
And I'd be angsting about trying on women's shoes at the store. And I ended up with plenty of shoes that hateable. Ended up in Judy's eBay store, actually, because I never took them back because I was embarrassed. But now, I mean, even though it was in the corner of the store,
right. I was
the location of the size, not because we chose to hide.
I was looking for a seat.
Floor,
yeah,
ankling up.
Yeah, these beautiful chunky heel, rhinestone-y, beautiful sandal-y things.
And we were holding up dresses and purses and shoes to your body.
Not even caring, like not worried that somebody might side eye us.
I have no idea if anybody.
Everyone disappeared, and we own the.
Yeah, absolutely, and that's the way it should be.
How did you feel? I mean, you were in male mode.
I was in male mode. Although I was looking, you know, I had my little hip pads, and I was feeling pretty sexy in my
sissy
leggings. so it was. I loved it because it showed growth for me, being able to be like go from a point of reference in 8 years to be like, Judy, oh, we got to do a private fitting room because I don't want people to know it's me wearing these dresses, to like, yeah, that's all for me. And here's my boobs. Wah, wah. Yeah. And then going to the corner of the
fitting room that all three of us, you know, men and women.
And
can
we
go
were,
into.
Well, I don't know if you experienced this, but I know for me, I even think I had my fucking sunglasses on. Like I was walking in slow-mo, like I was in a fucking movie. And I've done this before with like clients because I'm like, there is no way that they're going to have a bad experience in this dressing room. There was like one experience I can think of where there was like a very pregnant woman with like the child in the, and I was like, I said to my friend, I'm like, you got to hurry up because there's a, you know, there's a situation where you're going to need to leave and all this, but like, I'm very protective over the whole changing room scenario because it has been just excruciating for many people in my presence as well as out. But like, this was just such a lovely experience.
It was.
And this woman was so accommodating.
She was.
We were heading to the fitting room and you're like, don't worry, I'm a professional.
Right.
I'll get us in there.
Right.
You know? I was like, what do you got? Like a VIP pass or a little badge? What the hell?
Right.
And like, again, the attendant looked at Judy first because she was behind the cart with all the dresses stacked in there.
You were like the side.
And I was a side piece over there in a corner, maybe a foot away or 2 feet away. And you were in the middle, like kind of leading the way. And he's like, oh, what do you need? And then Judy was talking about, we need room for three. Mm-hmm. I said, oh, and him too? I was like, and that's why I stepped. I was like, oh, it's for me. Oh.
I'm so proud of
I was,
you.
Yeah, and the fact that I was, and the fact that I'm able to just do it and not think about like, oh, should I say something? I don't even think about, should I say something? Because there's nothing wrong with doing it. And like, it's commerce. They don't care. It's like, we're helping pay to keep the doors open and the lights on.
But it still made her pause, but in a good way.
In a good way. Yeah. It was like a nice surprise.
Okay. Like, I was like, hello, I'm going to pay attention today.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, here's something I could tell my boo when I get home.
She was waiting for you to twirl around. But I know. I would have
too if I had been in full makeup. She definitely would have seen it for sure.
Well, there's always tomorrow.
Always tomorrow. Yeah. So we had talked about that. We talked about the reveal. Let's talk about the hand-holding event of whatever year it was, the big scandal. I think it's important that we talk about it. Just to set the stage. Early, this was like probably in that it was a gala. It wasn't the Winter Bowl. That's a different name, but probably like maybe a year into our relationship.
Yes.
Okay. Let's call it that. A year and a half maybe. So there was a big gala event for, you know, trans people, cross dressers on the island at the time before COVID and other things happened. And so we went, I was super excited. I had wanted to go several times, but it went on a hiatus. This was with my old girlfriend, and I never got to go, but I really was excited to go because it was back on, dresses, and it was going to be this big thing.
Yeah.
And you know, just like we got there like Friday night, and we did some other things around. We had gone to the mall. She took me to a zombie experience thing that weekend, which was amazing. On Friday night, we were going to meet with friends in the bar, and I got all dressed up, ready to go, and we're going to meet these people. And so we were both heading down this hallway to the main lobby space.
We went to the lobby to ask for
a blanket. So, but I was so like happy and thrilled that we were out, quote unquote, out. We were in this venue that was should be very friendly because the entire event was about all these cross-dressing people. Let's talk about what happened, which is we head down this long hallway, get to the main lobby space. We start heading towards the counter because she wanted a blanket, an extra blanket. And I was just so in the moment, I went to hold her hand. And viscerally, to me, she pulled it away. Mm-hmm. She pulled her hand away from holding my hand. Yeah. And I'll finish my point of view and then we'll come back to your side. So I was just ripped. I mean, my heart was ripped in half by that action. I went and asked for the blanket at the counter.
With my heart,
like, you know, not bleeding a bit. And then we went to look for our friends in the bar. They weren't there. And I said, I don't know. I don't see them. I don't think they're coming. And so we went back to the room and I instantly, after all the work I just put in to get Savannah fine, I took everything off like immediately.
And I was even saying, we can go for a walk or something. No.
I couldn't.
Did she know why you were?
Well, that's why I want to like put it over
to
Judy.
Know why that she was?
I suspected. I didn't know exactly how tender her emotions were.
Or that was the reason why she was just taking it.
I had a feeling that I might have hurt her feelings by doing that, but I did not realize the extent of it at the time because, you know, again, we weren't together that terribly long.
Definitely not in public with Savannah.
But once you started stripping down, like within an hour of
and probably angrily. No, I think it was more like just, you know, like kind of a fuck this kind of moment, I think. Yeah. And it wasn't like towards her, but it was just like that introspective, like I'm just fucking mad and just like enough, I'm putting
hurting.
It all away. Just
hurting.
Yeah.
So, you know, I felt bad, but I also felt defensive. It's like, well, I'm doing my best here. I was just reacting because, you know, instinctively, you know, my brain was taken over. And
which goes back to what you said. It's like you were worried about what people might think of you.
Yes.
Which is why it was instinctual. It was like, I don't want people to think I'm with you in that way.
I knew that the hotel was swimming with cross dressers and trans women, but that
didn't necessarily mean that I
was going to be holding hands with one of them. You know, so
a boundary was pushed and you were not.
I wasn't
there.
I wasn't ready for the boundary.
Yeah.
I wasn't. I'm a slow student in this whole thing. It's been a long road.
Right. I mean, and the difference is, and again, I can own up to my poor, I'm not going to say I wasn't warranted in my feelings.
But you are hypersensitive.
I am still hypersensitive in so many ways.
Yes.
I'm getting better. but not taking things as personally, but it's, you know, taken a long time with you and I, especially with Savannah in that regard. But it was visceral, and I had been rejected so many times, and Savannah was always a shame. And this, to me,
and you were in your ball gown.
No, this was just nice outfit. This was like, yeah, this was the night before. We were meeting people just at the bar. So I forget.
It was way out on Long Island, so it was a long drive. So we went
your night before.
No,
and
I don't know what I was wearing, but it was just a dress.
Whatever, whatever it was.
Nondescript, but feminine.
Yeah.
And it just, like I said,
and you reached out,
and I reached out. I was just gonna hold her hand, or maybe I put my arm through, whatever. No, it was Debbie's hand. Held the hand,
and there was a,
and it was like, no, it was like a hard pull.
It was damn, that's hot type of thing.
Yeah. It was like, yes, it was like, yeah. And again, I did not take it well, and I shut down emotionally. I mean, I was both ripped open emotionally and then shut myself completely down emotionally, which, because in my existence in the world, every time somebody does something like that is out of shame and fear.
Oh, yeah.
And so it's just a reiteration and a reinforcement of like, there's something wrong with you. You're something to be ashamed of or to be fearful of, which is like the friend.
We were both triggered by all of our past experiences.
Yeah.
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
Of course. And it's completely a human moment.
Yeah.
And it wasn't a moment that was intended to make someone feel hurt.
No.
It was just one of those, it was an animalistic response.
I wasn't right. He wasn't right. Or she is, as she was presenting.
Yeah.
But neither one of us was really wrong either.
No.
We were just,
it was honest. It was the truth.
Yeah.
Well, and even so, it wasn't the truth. It was the visceral truth, not the truth.
Visceral, not the thought out
truth. Right. Not the how I really feel.
The primal truth.
Right.
Yeah. So like, and that's the problem. It's like, I didn't see past the primal truth. I just saw that as her truth. Therefore, any discussion was empty because obviously this is how you think of me. You think I'm disgusting. Yeah. So you did that. So that must be how you feel. And it took me a long time to, like, even now it's a pain point, not as painful as it was.
Right.
It's still one of those things that like, it's if we have point of discussion that typically comes up as like, well, it's kind of like that thing when you pulled your hand away. It still is like a touchstone because you can kind of say, oh yeah, I remember how that was.
Mm-hmm.
You know, of course. Yeah. So it's just a reference point now.
And I've told you, like, with arguments I've had with my husband, where it's not just like, oh, that's his personality. Like, there's a milestone to it where you can compare it to.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
A threshold that was pushed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And keeping in that weekend, you know, this was this grand event with, and it's ironic because it's like, it shows Judy. They're like, look at how many of us are.
It's like the coming out party.
And they're all in their ball gowns and opera gloves.
And cocktail dresses.
And yeah, just
out. And
well, at least out in there in that venue.
Safety, dancing and a big buffet.
And so where I thought that there's like, see, honey, look, it's not just me. Look at how many of us are doing this. In a way where we're trying to look our best and we're having a good time and we're dancing and say, look how normal it is.
With some of the people who get to know them.
Except for a couple that also, I'll let you speak to that.
As typically was the case in most cross-dressing specific events, as the evening wears on and the liquor flows, the people get more comfortable and it gets a little more rowdy or
Randy.
Randy
is a better word.
Mm-hmm.
It does.
Yeah.
There's a lot of touching, dancing and grinding and
making
going
out.
On and
she's like, tell me more, everything.
There is some of that, yes. And
like some meaty tucks gets.
Well, I don't think we saw any of that, although we did
and
see.
This elderly gent came onto the dance floor all by himself, and he was wearing a little sequined tube dress that ended about an inch above his crotch line with fishnet stockings and like red lipstick smeared, and just like the whole caricature that he wanted to think of was right there. And that's where I kind of drew my line in the sand.
Yeah.
It's like, I need to go back to the room. And anytime going forward that we went to these events, if it started to turn, I left. I said, I want any experience I have with cross-dressing to be positive. I don't want to have negative memories.
There's no crossover. This is a line of appropriateness and anything.
And that's the hard thing one to sell, to say, listen, that's not everybody, that's this person. And that's a hard thing to sell to Judy, to say, well, no, I saw a lot of it, so it's a lot more prevalent than you're telling me it is.
I mean,
so,
it happens with heterosexual people too. Yeah. And it happens with gay people and with lesbians and anybody.
Province town is called like the fucking dock or something. Like, oh my God, the fucking dock. I fucking love it here. No, literally at a certain time after the club, like everyone is under there having sex.
Mm.
Yeah.
Okay. I didn't know that, but okay.
Just know that.
All right.
Province town after the dock.
But what it is that you can tell me if I'm wrong. You can tell me if I'm wrong, though.
Fetishy thing where even these nice cross-dresser next door, woman next door, touch cross-dresser
has some sauce,
can devolve into what I'm praying that my person is not going to be.
Yeah. You know? It must have been like a Disney scene.
There was a lot of fear for a long time. Yeah.
And it's, I just want to make the point of everybody's journeys. We talk about this all the time, right, Jules?
Yeah.
That everybody's journey is specific. The problem is, I think in Judy's case, she wanted to make sure I was in a very specific lane, that I wasn't like, because I can say I'm not fetishy, but she's like, I don't know, I see a lot of people out there being fetishy. So like, it's because she kept seeing it, it was like, it was an option or as a possibility. So she only wanted to see like the girl next door, glam, you know, always dressed to perfectly or whatever. You know, the thing was like,
just I want to see real people and just
a
wholesome environment. I wanted to convince myself
that's what it was.
That's what it was.
Yeah.
Either it's this thing or that thing, and you need it to be that thing.
Unfortunately, it was very black and white thinking, right? Because in reality, we're all over the place and people, and that's unfortunately
everybody's all over the place.
Yeah,
and I know that, but trying to
compartmentalize in your head and feel safe.
Yes. And trying to make sense of,
because that's number one.
You look at everything with a fine tooth comb and a magnifying glass and a flashlight.
I remember going to a lesbian bar, which I'm not comfortable in the lesbian bars. I was always comfortable in college in the gay guy scenes, you know, a lot of gay guys. And so I went to this lesbian bar, and of course my friends gave me like some mushroom crumbs already. I was like, this is a little bit different. But at the lesbian bar, it was like middle school, but with lesbians. So you had every little clique. You had the greasers.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
And then finally I see like this, what I felt was a heterosexual couple. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, oh, I literally went up to them like, oh, straight people. Just like, she goes, honey, we're all gay. And then she literally like arches her head back and starts making out with the woman behind her. And then like this, and I'm just like, like one of those things where it's like sometimes you just want things to be in this perfectly, I don't want to say immature, but like naive, like this innocence about it. Like, all right, if it's going to be a little bit racy,
if it's going to be something
this
different.
Is my boundary, okay? Yeah. Fine, there may be some touching of the hands, but if it goes the, you know, this way, I'm just going to... Yeah. I'm not one of those people that belong in this side of the
tracks. And my problem is sometimes I didn't recognize that for Judy and what she needed. Because I'd be sitting there trying to explain. It's like, well, you know, you don't know what their deal is. You know, maybe this is the only time all year.
She's hot. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, she's out.
Well, we're talking about that older person in a tube dress.
Mm-hmm.
Right. While I was like, ooh, I never would do that. That's a little much.
Right.
But I was like, well, maybe this is the only time they ever get out. Maybe this is the first time in 3 years they've done it. And maybe that's all they know how to do. And like, I was kind of half defending, also half rationalizing. It's like, I don't know that person's story. So I don't know why they would want to appear that way, but who am I to judge their appearance?
And meanwhile, over your rationale, you're completely uncomfortable.
Yeah.
You feel visually violated and ready to go upstairs. But
some of her friends came over from our local area, and one of them was a smoker and was going outside. So she decided to join them, and I didn't want to go outside because it was cold.
It was cold.
And of course, I kicked off my high heels 10 minutes into the evening, and I wasn't putting those things back on for love nor money.
No, you were.
So I was not going outside. So I stayed inside, sat at the table, and just waited and unfortunately just kept watching, and it just got weirder and weirder, and I kept looking.
And where were you?
I was outside because the people.
That would be Scott yapping to do.
Yeah, we were yapping to doing for sure.
Yeah, talking, getting into it. Yeah. That's
finally
why I
did walk outside.
You, yes.
Give me the room key, please. I'm leaving.
And then I felt so bad because the way she said it, obviously she was. She's like, I'm done waiting for you. This is some bullshit.
Then people were coming and hitting on me while I was sitting there.
Did you tell me this?
Yes.
Nice.
Ew. And that's why, like, in early days in the relationship, Scott and I both realized he likes to socialize. I like to go by myself. So I think as soon as in the partnership, you realize, okay, I'm going to stop people pleasing the other person and be good or fun for the other person. And we're both going to get what we want. Look, I don't care. Just send me a text at 12 that you're safe. And I'm going to go to bed. Like, unless you have your little exchanges as a couple, I think the worst is when two people try to be that couple to do everything together, especially as like cross-dresser and the cross-dressing couple, and maybe the pressure that one feel, or like, I know for my husband, he always feels bad that I'm not around. Really, it's like, hey, do you really? I think he does. But like, I'm not that person. I you feel worse, and he's learned this from me, if I would be miserable and ruin everyone's time with my fucking face and attitude, which I do.
Exactly.
So now he doesn't feel so bad anymore.
When we go to a party that we know would be late, like even if I do attend this gala, which I probably won't because I'm still recovering from the surgery, I'd take my own car.
Yes.
Because I know that she loves to mingle and she loves to dance, loves to socialize.
She's in the house.
And there just hasn't been enough of that since COVID. So I'm not going to stop her from doing that.
Right.
I trust her.
Right.
I mean, there is that element of trust. Not all couples have that. And I was worried about that in the beginning. I'm like, well, if you're going to be going out and I'm going to be wondering what you're doing while you're out, this is never going to work out.
I want to not care.
But she's fine going out without me if I don't feel like going, you know, and I come if I feel like it, or I'll take my own car. And
I will amend that in a way, because I always wanted to be there.
Right.
Because I don't want to just be me
like
doing my thing. I wanted to share it. And there was a couple of times early on when we went to the private events where we had the makeovers done for you. I gave her like a spa weekend and she had a makeover done because it was like a theme party.
Yes.
It was like a mob wives and fairies or something. I forget.
Because you had the little.
I had the little. Yeah.
On your face.
So I wanted to make it so special and like really reinforce the positivity by making it a great experience. So we had a spa weekend. She got like a massage. Then the makeup artist came in, blah, blah, blah. And then we went. And I thought we had a good time.
Session.
Yeah, it was just trying to make that experience a positive one.
Which I
did. But yet. In other times, we go to a similar event, maybe a non-theme one, where I didn't like to spend, you know, and do all these things. But she'd be like, just sitting there. And I would, for me, it was like, are you okay?
Right. You like, make sure.
And she'd say, I'm fine.
There's nothing worse than someone asks you 50 times.
Right. Well, the thing is, like, I was so worried about how she would react to the scene and want her to have a good experience. It was like, all I did was spend time like coddling and making sure it was still. And I'm like, can I go dance? I would be like that. I would be like, is it okay if I go dance? Are you okay here? Because I was so worried.
I need permission to have
but
fun.
But these parties also, they were so loud that
they're very loud.
I don't have great hearing. So
people like, what? You want to go make a romance?
I couldn't understand what was being said. So I was still just sitting there smiling, whether people were sitting at the table with me or not, just gave me a different focus, close or far.
So ended up, I mean, we found out very quickly that scene wasn't her scene.
Right.
And as much as I want her to be a part of that, not part of that scene, but with me just in general, you know, it just ended up being more arduous for her to endure it than to be there with me.
Right.
So we kind of, again, made that decision. It's like, well, if you want to come, you're always welcome. If you want to leave early, bring your own car. If you don't want to go, that's fine too. I just want to know that I want you to be there. And so it was really more of like that, just trying to understand the needs of the other. And also along the way, I was like, well, we can always just go to dinner. Yeah, we always can just go to a normal place, just you and me, where it's just normal noise. You know, it doesn't have to be.
We became friends with the people we interviewed, and we formed a group that would get together and go out to dinner. Was it once a month? Once a month, we always, you know, wait, it's that Wednesday again. You know, we've got our table set at the same restaurant all the time. Mm-hmm. You know, and it was a group of about 12 of us.
Yeah, sisterhood.
And it would peak usually, and valley, you know, sometimes be
cross-dressers and some spouses.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, we could miss.
Would any man go drab one time?
A few. A couple. Depending on what they were doing. I think I might have gone drab once.
Some would show up late, you know. Oh, I'm just stopping in to say hi real quick, and they'd be like, "Who are you?" You know. But so yeah, that was nicer.
Yeah, and again, that was even more normalized. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So like that's when I started realizing that the. Well, actually, I didn't really realize until we came down to South Carolina that it really like those parties is good and safe and supporting that they are those private events. It really kind of locks you into a very specific bubble.
Right.
So
and that it's not normal what you're doing.
Because it is private. Nobody else is allowed there. And again, it's a safe environment where you're not going
to
get looky-loos.
Door that you have to be with a cross-dresser or friends of a cross-dresser and paying admission to get
what
in.
Do you do? Show your tail?
No, just pay $20. Yeah. And again, it has its purpose for many people. It's like mm-hmm. it's a safe venue that you know you can be who you want to be.
Yeah.
But for me, I'm not going to say I outgrew it, but I think as we came down to South Carolina, it became like, well, we could just do normal stuff. We found PFLAG, we found meetup groups, mm-hmm. we found places that are going to take you to a non-event, not a private, you pay to get an event. You just go and you're in the world and people are seeing you and being
not
seen.
So underground.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's actually been very helpful for me because I didn't realize I needed normalcy until I had it.
Right.
So like I was very excited every month to go to the parties, but go ahead.
When we started going to the PFLAG meetings here, you know, always went to Savannah every time. And then one week for some reason, I don't know if she stayed late at work or what the deal was, but she said, I don't have time to change. I'm just going as Chuck. And nobody really recognized him.
Whoa,
a couple of people were like,
I bet.
You know, it was interesting.
There was.
There were some people that were disappointed.
My daughter was so confused what she saw.
Oh, really?
Yeah, both sides.
But in that time that we went to the PFLAG, one of the main people was like, well, I knew you immediately because of your smile. Oh. And then on the opposite end, there was the people who didn't recognize me until I said something. And oh my God. And then there was this older lady who was like, I like Savannah better. So I'm like, she's a piece of work, but she's lovely.
But yeah.
So it's like, it's been a beautiful thing to come down to South Carolina and just be part of a different universe. And I found for me that being here among the people, just being with people with, like I said, at the store today, at mm-hmm. Ross, Dress for Less, we highly recommend it. The people are lovely.
Right. Yeah. It's not such a bustling New York, San Francisco, you know, giant city, underground counterculture scene. Mm-hmm. It just is, like you said, normal.
Yeah.
Normalcy. And yeah. I think the more that you can step out within this normal,
the more
day-to-day exposure,
mm-hmm.
the more likely you're going to have amazing, hopefully, amazing micro moments mm-hmm. with people that, I mean, you are comfortable and confident. So in turn, I think that this woman was comfortable and confident. I think if you were all nervous and you're like, well, it's for me, I'm going to change. And she would have picked up that nervousness and just acted a little awkward. Who knows?
Or maybe she would have been even more like, no, it's okay. Yeah, we're fine. Like she could have been really accommodating, like knowing I was nervous.
Yeah.
But yeah, you'll never know. But like, yeah, your confidence is always going to give somebody else confidence.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I think in almost every situation.
And for me, with every experience I had that was positive, especially coming down here, gave me more confidence that I'm not stupid for believing in this, that, you
and
know,
for loving this person.
And for loving this person. And yeah, that's what, that gave me confidence that I was like, all right, it's time to
tell the children
mm-hmm. You know, make this more real, you know, look for organic moments and just get things going. And, you know, some of our neighbors know.
The housekeeper, you were like, housekeeper. Sometimes she tells people like way too soon. No, not yet, but like, there's some people like she said, yeah, I told so-and-so. I'm like, really? I was like, you just met them 3 minutes ago. It's like, so she's actually gone sometimes.
Gardner.
Yeah, like completely like to people.
You might see another woman. It's not me.
Yeah.
It's my boyfriend.
Little Gardner, you know, we were talking about podcasts and I said, yeah, he does a podcast. Oh, really? What's it about? You know, what am I going to do? I'm not going to lie.
I told the Lyft driver.
So I was like, all right, you... organic moment, here we are.
Exactly. And I think that,
we got a little puppy on the lap right now.
I think that just being able to sit here in your living room and being able to
have my dog's ass on your lap.
Have your dog's ass between my breasts. I feel like it's just one of those moments that shows like how much work we've all done individually to get to this point, beautiful point of just this collective moment. Cause it's, I mean, we all have had to do a lot of growth and a lot of healing and take a lot of vulnerable risks. I mean, I really was very scared to get up in front of a camera on the Freebie She Show. I mean, when I was asked, I literally was like, all right, Julie, this is not about you. Mm-hmm. This is about crossdressers out there that need someone to feel safe with, need to feel normalized. Well, if I didn't do that brave and scary thing, then I never would have met Savannah, mm-hmm. and I never would have met Judy. And mm-hmm. and now, after what, 2.5 years, finally we have this moment where we could do a podcast
in the same room.
Yes.
As me not hiding upstairs with the dogs.
Yes.
Right. The dog's right here. All I know is that I am so thankful that everyone who's listening got to be a part of this. And I'm so thankful that I'm sitting here with two of the most caring and kind and beautiful people mm-hmm. I know. And I'm just so, so humble and touched to be here. And I just appreciate and love you both so much. Cool. And thank you for sharing your story with me and with everyone listening. And I feel so fortunate to be able to live in a time where this is possible, where this podcast is going to be, you know, edited and then loaded down into the, you know, stratosphere.
Be in the annals of history. Thank you, number one, for being here and making the trip for us.
Finally.
And not finally as in like you should have done it sooner. It happened when it was supposed to. It happened to be
right in front of my face, and I just can't describe it. When I saw those giant tits that you have in the box, I was like, shit, those are triple motherfucking acts. When the glisten came off those beige areolas, I was like, my God. Sorry.
Check, please.
It is getting that time, everybody. It's, I will tell you right now, it is after 10 p.m.
Yeah,
we had a fantastic day. Yes, we do. With hot brownies. It's been an amazing day. Again, Julie's here. We got her bag. We went shopping, tried on, I think, 12 dresses in the scheme of things was amazing. Again, we had such great interplay.
We bought shoes,
sparkly shoes, a clutch bag. Amazing time today out in the real world. Just doing our thing, whether it's in mail mode or not mail mode, because yesterday I was Savannah and we went out as well. I just want to say it's amazing to have you here. It's amazing to see you in person and be able to give you a hug for reals. Love having you as part of our lives. Just as a friend.
I realize I have to do a trip out here once a year.
Yes.
Yes.
With my baggage on my person. I am fucking
flight. Not on the weekend of a national clusterfuck of airlines.
No. Never again.
Never again.
But anyway, I am not going to tarnish the beautiful words you said. We feel the same for you. Absolutely. And with that, yes, we may have another episode in the bag because there's so much to talk about with Judy.
And I'm never here. We haven't even talked about the family.
We definitely want to get back into that. So I think there will be another part to this. But until then, thank you so much, listeners, for listening and being a part of our family. And I hope that you love each other as much as we haven't and showing love and commiserating here. So
bye for now.
Until next time.
Toodaloo.
You can find me on Facebook at Savannah Hawk or at Living with Crossdressing and on Instagram at Savannah Hawk. Remember, that's H-A-U-K. And to learn more, go to my website, livingwithcrossdressing.com.
And you can find me on Instagram and Facebook at Fox and Hanger or at Julie MTF Style, as well as on our website at foxandhanger.com.
Julie, it's your moment.
The Fox and the Phoenix podcast uses Anchor. Copyright 2022. Yes, nailed it.
If you enjoy our content and want to make it easier for others to find us, please share with your friends. Tap the subscribe or follow button to the show wherever you're listening. Give it a 5-star rating or leave a review.
And for show ideas or comments, contact us through the podcast on Facebook at Fox and Phoenix Podcast or on Instagram at the Fox and the Phoenix Podcast _.